Hello and welcome to the Believer's Academy. My name is Jeremy from the staff of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This series, God's Not Mad at You, will help you understand the way God feels about you. Today's lesson, God wants to know you. God expected a relationship with you and me, but our sin kept him away. Let's see how God made a way to bring you back into friendship with him. We have prepared some study aids located under the video you can download and enjoy in Believers Academy on kcm.org. You will want a pen and paper to take notes on this lesson. Also, anytime during the teaching, you can pause or go back over a point again. This is an exciting truth, the truth that God wants to have a relationship with you. So much so that he's made a perfect way, and we are ready to share it with you. So here we go. For so many years, churches have taught that God is sovereign, that he is the supreme being. They also taught that if man is good or does good, man gets good from God. But if man is bad or does bad, God is angry with him and man receives condemnation and separation from God. There's a problem. The Bible tells us that everyone has sinned. We have all fallen below God's standard for good. Man can't be good. That means there is no hope to please God or to be accepted by him, since we can't meet his standard for goodness. Why try to be good or do good if there's no hope of success? Even if we could start now and never make another mistake, never have a wrong action or thought, never sin, how about all the previous times when we did sin? How can that ever be erased? What a dilemma! But God's word has good news, and it starts with God's expectations when he created man. The Bible says the whole purpose that God had in mind when he created man was to satisfy his desire to have someone to fellowship with, a friend. Now, God didn't need man's ability, man's intellect, or man's great organizational skills. In fact, the Bible says that all we have, spiritually, physically, and materially, was given to us by God in the first place. But God wanted a friend he could talk with, visit with, and share his creation with. Genesis 2:7 says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, a speaking spirit, a voice. In other words, God gave to man his own abilities, his own glory. God's instructions to man and woman are found in Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Notice, God told them to subdue and have dominion, or take charge over every living thing that moved on the earth. However, Adam chose to disobey God and committed high treason against him. Sadly, all of mankind has suffered as a result of his disobedience. Now, what exactly were the effects of Adam's sin, and why was the entire human race affected? Let's look at the situation. When Adam chose to go against God, it was no small thing. He gave away all the advantages of being in a relationship with the Almighty God. He lost the life for which he was created, and he took with him Eve and every other member of the human race that would ever be born. With this one act of man's rebellion, Satan took the place of God of this world and lord over man. Satan became man's master. But God didn't give up. He didn't turn away, and he didn't start over. He had a plan to bring man into relationship with himself. God's plan for man had not changed. He still wanted a family. He still wanted a relationship with man. How did God begin working to bring men to himself? He instituted the blood sacrifice. The blood of an animal on behalf of a person shielded the man's sin from God's view. This sacrifice had to be offered at least once a year until the time came for the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God who would forgive and remove man's sins forever. Fast forward to a lady named Mary. An angel appeared to her and asked her permission for a miraculous event. God wanted to bring a child into the world, the angel said, but he needed a human mother. Was she willing to accept this assignment? Mary's answer is the perfect example of love and faith toward God. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." That's in Luke 1:38. Mary did have a child, even though she was a virgin. That child Jesus, was the Son of God. He was sinless because he did not have a human father. Jesus was not a descendant of Adam, and he lived a perfect life. So when it came time for man's sin to be paid for, forgiven, and removed, Jesus was ready. You see, he didn't have to die and pay the price for his own sins because he didn't have any. He was the perfect Lamb of God, and he died for all of mankind. It was the great exchange. Jesus became the substitute for man. Man sinned, and Jesus was sinless. Jesus took man's sin and was sacrificed. Man took Jesus' righteousness and was set free. Isn't that great? Each individual person's sins were nailed to the cross along with Jesus. Colossians 2:14 says, He, Jesus, canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Since that time, sin has been removed and can no longer separate man from God. Now, there is one more step that must be taken. Each man must receive this new family status as a son or daughter of God by doing two things. First, he must ask Jesus to be the Lord of his life. Second, he must declare that Jesus died and was buried and rose again for the complete payment of his sin. That's it. If a person will do these two things, he becomes born again. He is saved. He becomes a new creation, a new person. A man that is in Christ is forgiven. Forgiven as though he had never sinned, just like the original state of Adam and Eve in the garden. There is no longer any hindrance and no longer eternal separation between God and a born-again man. He can move from failure to a clean fellowship with God. God now has his friend. That's you. In fact, you are in the family of God with all the family rights and privileges. All that God has is ready for your use. All that God has belongs to Jesus, and you are a joint heir with him. Congratulations! You have completed Lesson 1, God Wants to Know You, of the series, God's Not Mad at You. At this point, you start getting to know God, and your focus changes from self to God. You need to learn a new way to think, to talk, to live this life, and to be a witness for God to others. You can talk to God. You can ask for anything that God has said and is His will, and He will do it. You can know God, His character, and His will. You have a great relationship with God, the friendship He originally intended. So go ahead, enjoy it. In summary, we studied God's expectations when He created man, the effect of man's sin, and God's plan to bring man into a wonderful relationship with himself. As Christians, we are in a great place of security, peace, and love. Please join us for our next lesson, God Wants You to Know Him, where we will discuss what this relationship does for you. We will get into some biblical examples and practical applications of knowing God. Meanwhile, don't forget to download the study aids, and here are some things to think about. Why did God create you? Why are sin and trouble found in the earth? What did God do to bring you into a relationship with Him? We look forward to our next time together. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.